This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will. He's Jake.
You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, where Raw and SmackDown are going with new rosters and, way too early, WrestleMania 34 predictions. Happen to be looking for more great wrestling content on the internet? Check out ProWrestling.net's membership site. Not only do you get ad-free access to ProWrestling.net, but you get access to our member-exclusive audio reviews of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, all of the Impact Wrestling shows, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, every major wrestling show. We've got an audio review of it on a weekly basis. Plus, you get access to the ProWrestling.net weekly audio show with Jason Powell and a guest, often breaking first-run news, talking about stuff you aren't going to hear anywhere else. ProWrestling.net is the website. For the membership option, click on the membership link, and for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out and see what it's like, you can become a ProWrestling.net member. So Jake, how much money do you think you would have made had you placed a prop bet that Jinder Mahal would get the first WWE Championship shot after WrestleMania?
Ooh. I can't even imagine what the odds would be on something like that. You might be in the primetime players millions of dollars playbook there.
Would you have done the dance?
If I won millions, yeah, I think I'd have to.
Wow. That's awesome on a number of levels. Next time we see each other at like a WrestleMania weekend or something, we should probably do that dance.
I mean, yeah, if we have millions of dollars, I think that
we need millions of dollars to do the millions of dollars dance. Did no one tell Titus O'Neil and Darren Young that?
No. Oh. They took it about as far as you possibly could. Like there actually were people in crowds doing that for a period of time.
Oh, I kind of loved those people. I know I should mock them, but there was something really charming about the random fans caught doing the millions of dollars dance. I almost felt bad for them too, but they were great. But we are not here to give a full breakdown of the cultural impact of the millions of dollars dance. Although I totally should write about that when I'm writing about Raw 1 week, just to mess with people. We're here to talk about the superstar shakeup and how the rosters look after. We've seen a week of TV now. So kind of talking about the trajectory of stars and where we think things are going and how we think the shows actually ended up, Raw and SmackDown, post-shakeup. Little disclaimer, if we had done this after the WWE draft, the one in 2016, and had judged it by the first week of TV, we would have been massively advocating for Raw and saying no one should ever watch SmackDown. That's not how things turned out. So this is after a week of judgment. But Jake, which show did you enjoy more this week?
I think start to finish, probably SmackDown. It's still tough for me to get through a full 3 hours of Raw.
So second question, what was your favorite segment on those two shows this week?
I think anything involving Braun Strowman on Raw was pretty good. And I think he's probably the reason to watch at this point.
How weird does that feel?
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable that we would be saying that, you know, after where he was, you know, developmentally from a character standpoint and from a in-ring standpoint, like a year ago.
It's really nuts how much he has improved and how good Braun Strowman is right now. And also just how great of a character he is. I watched him cut a promo to open Monday Night Raw, and it didn't feel unnatural. I think he, for the last few months, has been the low-key star of Raw. You look at right around Royal Rumble time, and I think it was Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens who had a match a week or two before the Rumble. And I thought to myself, Braun Strowman should win the championship tonight. That feels weird. Like, it felt wrong, but at the same time, I was like, no. That would work. It would get the title out of that awful Goldberg-Lesnar thing they were going to do with it, and it would get the title onto a full-time great star. I still actually think Braun Strowman should have won the championship there. Despite how good Goldberg and Lesnar's match ended up being at WrestleMania. But I would think I would agree with you there, with a slight nod to the Charlotte and Naomi opening segment on SmackDown, which I thought was one of the better Charlotte promos I heard, and I thought it was a nice little showdown between the two of them.
Yeah, I wish that Naomi was going to get a fair shake as the SmackDown Women's Champion. I can't say that I believe that's the case. You know, with Charlotte coming over, I almost think they're going to put the championship on Charlotte immediately, and then kind of form the division around someone chasing her or multiple people chasing her. And it's kind of unfair, you know, just given that they just put the title on Naomi at WrestleMania. But I really don't see it going a different way. I think they feel like they brought Charlotte to SmackDown and she brings a whole lot of star power to the show, and they're going to want her, you know, on the microphone, having segments on a weekly basis in order to justify moving her off of Raw. And I think that means making her champion. But, you know, I think Naomi actually showed some really good intensity, and I think she held her own on the microphone in that segment. She deserves credit for that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to take the title off of Naomi next week, actually. As we get into like very micro predictions right now, I don't think that's where they're going to go, simply because they set up all of those women being upset. And I almost think they're going to set up kind of a six woman tag as a big either Backlash match or as a SmackDown going on the road to Backlash match of Carmella, Natalya, and Tamina against Charlotte, Naomi, and Becky Lynch. Like, I kind of see the match ending with the three angry women running down and then Becky Lynch running in for the save and there being some sort of standoff. However, I also can't say I'd be too surprised to see them put the title on Charlotte right away.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it seems like they have a high... They're placing a lot of value right now on both Alexa Bliss and Charlotte, and I think they want both of them to hold the titles very soon. And with Alexa Bliss, that may be as soon as Payback. But you know, I think they want Charlotte to still remain, you know, the biggest women's star in WWE at this point. And I think that means having her capture the SmackDown Women's Championship and say that she was the first woman who won both the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships. And so that's just where my head's at on that one. But I could definitely, you know, see them delaying it if there was some compelling creative reason to do so. But I mean, just given the state of the SmackDown Women's Division, I don't know if that's the case at this point.
It is really hard when the compelling players in the SmackDown Women's Division seem to be the babyfaces. I still think they want to make Charlotte a babyface, which is why she has heels coming after her. When it's Charlotte, Naomi, and Becky who seem compelling, and Natty, Carmella, and Tamina seem meh at best. As characters, I think they've kind of reached a weird place with all of them where they're afterthoughts. But this brings us to the larger question of this. After a week, what roster do you think is more complete?
I mean, just from a number standpoint, I think Raw has the advantage. But we've seen, you know, over the course of the last year, just how that really hasn't mattered. You know, as much as we, you know, like to talk about, you know, star power and things of that nature, it really does seem like whatever is happening creatively on the SmackDown side is just clicking on a more regular basis than what they're doing on Raw. And that's not to say that there aren't positive things going on with Raw, but it does seem that, you know, because the show is only 2 hours and because they have, you know, only eight or nine segments, depending on if you count, you know, the overruns and things like that. Honestly, I think it feels like a more up-tempo show, no matter what. And they've done a good job on Raw with Strowman recently of spreading him out throughout all 3 hours. So, you know, that there's at least one or two segments, you know, in per hour where things feel like the show has some movement to it. But other times, you know, you might have a second or a third hour of the show that just completely stalls out. And so I think it's up to them to make use of that roster better this year so that they, you know, there isn't a 30 or 45 minute period on the show where it feels like you could tune out and come back and you know, nothing would be missed. But on SmackDown, there really isn't that, you know, that period. You know, there may be a down segment or something, but it's never something where you feel like you could go have a meal and come back and you might miss nothing.
I'll say, as an avid watcher of Hulu Raw, I'm thankful for that 30 minutes to 45 minutes that people can just zone out and not watch the show for. Those get cut most of the time. But I feel you. When you talk about like numbers and everything, you look at the athletes on Raw, you look at the actual professional wrestlers on that brand, and it's insane. They have the entire cruiserweight division, which is has just an immense wealth of talent in and of itself. And then you look at some of the actual heavyweight wrestlers on Raw, and you've got an insane, great roster. But Finn Balor is probably heading to a feud with Bray Wyatt, which I think is character death for almost everyone. You've got the Hardys, but they're being used in a kind of so-so tag division. You've got The Miz, who can shine and at least bring something. But you've got a talented roster, but you don't have a... You don't really have standout guys, aside from maybe your Brock Lesnar. I mean, I think he's your champion, obviously, and Brock Lesnar also, it turns out, doesn't show up on a weekly basis. He's not going to affect your week-to-week watching of Raw, which I think is a real flaw in the show. Even now, it's starting to become apparent that, oh, Brock Lesnar not being around really sucks, and it's a weekend. Like, it becomes a real flaw there, and it also makes guys like Samoa Joe just look a little bit less because Brock Lesnar is around, and I don't love that either. But on the SmackDown side, you have the kind of a roster capable of filling out a show even without John Cena around. I think AJ Styles just brings so much to SmackDown, and that's where, you know, when you talk about a complete roster, I'm mostly looking at top guys, and I look at AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, for God's sakes, and I go, wow, SmackDown, I want to watch this show every week. I mean, they have Jinder Mahal, Jake. Jinder, by God, Mahal. I'm kidding here. I like the idea of Jinder Mahal as number one contender right now, which is almost absurd. But I
what is your opinion on that? Just to get that out there, because I talked a little bit about it with Jason. You know, or earlier this week. And honestly, yeah, I'm in a wait and see kind of mode with it. Yeah, I didn't expect it. I didn't see it coming. I didn't predict it. In fact, if you go back and look at my SmackDown report, I was totally wrong about the way that match was going to go. You know, it's interesting to me that they kind of brought the Bollywood boys in. It looks like they are sort of realizing that it's going to be difficult to turn him into a number one contender act overnight without some help. And so I'm interested to see how that's going to be structured and what it's going to look like when they get a chance to actually talk on television. But they have a long way to go until Backlash. So they have, you know, five weeks maybe until they actually have to, you know, have him in a match with Randy Orton. So they have some time to establish exactly who he is and what he wants.
I think one of my main things coming out of it, and I wrote about how I don't really love the fact that he's embracing how America hates diversity as a heel tactic. I think that's pretty gross generally. But aside from that, I actually look at this Jinder Mahal push and I go, oh, they're just telling me it's not the main event. That's cool. Like, AJ Styles and Kevin Owens is the main program on SmackDown. Kevin Owens is doing the whole Face of America thing. AJ Styles, he is the number one guy on SmackDown. He is the ace, if you will, of the SmackDown brand, to get all Japanese pro wrestling in here. And I don't believe that changes. I believe AJ Styles is kind of the crown jewel, if you will, of SmackDown, even with Randy Orton in the main event, even or in the holding the WWE Championship. I think AJ is the guy on SmackDown. Thus, hey, AJ Styles and Kevin Owens is the main event program. Obviously, Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal, it's a little bit less, and it's something for Orton to do while more compelling opponents open up, and after a really weird Bray Wyatt program that's going to end in some sort of burning house, apparently.
is that match even for the championship?
I don't believe it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to look on the greatest source in pro wrestling here.
Yeah.
Wikipedia. Yeah. For the payback card.
It's a House of Horrors match. That much is very clear. But whether it's for the championship or not, I don't know. But it wouldn't make any sense for it to even happen if it wasn't, because it was because he had a rematch clause.
According to Wikipedia, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt is simply a House of Horrors match and is not for a title. Now, they've avoided saying this, which I kind of understand, because they do not like to... they don't like to say non-title match. They just won't mention the title. But it does make sense in that Randy Orton is a SmackDown wrestler, Bray Wyatt is a Raw wrestler, and they've already shown us with the Jericho and Kevin Owens match that if a match is for a title, they will announce a contingency. I don't know how I feel about it not being for the title, but I guess since Randy Orton apparently doesn't even know what the match is yet, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it just seems odd to even go forward with it if that's the case. But I guess going back to Jinder, I said this to Jason. I don't hate it on the grounds that he thinks he immigrated to the U.S. and he's pursuing the American dream, and people are responding with boos and heckling. And I guess I don't mind a heel that envisions himself as the hero of his own story that's fighting adversity. Like, I think that's a rational human way to look at life. You know, people believe that they're right, even when they're not, a lot of the time. And so I don't hate it from that regard. Now, whether it's, you know, politically motivated because of WWE's demographics and they know they can get a reaction from people by having a foreigner go out there and talk trash about Americans, well, that's another part of it. But from a foundational standpoint about, you know, what is the ethos of a heel character, it doesn't offend me in that regard.
I totally see where you're coming from in that, and I get that. I guess I'm looking at it, and I will admit I'm being sensitive to it here. Like, I think I've been accused on Twitter of being oversensitive, and that's probably true, that I pay more attention to these things and think more about it than people in WWE. But yeah, I think the SmackDown roster, it's kind of what we've been saying about it for, you know, since last year, really, when it first came. It's not super deep. The SmackDown roster is not insanely deep, but it's good and it's well used. And I think you're seeing that. I hope you're going to see that with Jinder Mahal, who is capable of a good promo and is he's kind of proven that, I think, on both Talking Smack and on Raw, or a little bit on Raw, but especially on this past SmackDown. I thought his actual delivery and stuff was pretty good. But you're seeing you're seeing SmackDown kind of come together as a show, even not needing all of its top talent. Shinsuke Nakamura was not on this past week's SmackDown. They showed a video package about him, which I will also say I was really in supportive, but I think that's such a strong roster. And, you know, the strength of that roster is in its top. If AJ Styles goes down with an injury, heaven forbid, that roster gets suddenly weaker. Same thing with Shinsuke, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. Even if Randy Orton goes down with an injury, you are missing something on SmackDown, and I would hate to see that. But I think that roster has such ability, and we haven't even gotten into Big E being around. You know, Big E and Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston being around is the New Day. Like, that's going to bring even more to that show. And hell, they're even using Primo and Epico to the most of their ability. And I just look at how people get used on SmackDown and I go, that will almost always be the stronger roster because it makes its wrestlers stronger. Like, being on that brand makes a wrestler more important.
Yeah, I think it's one of those cases where they just need to be. You know, on Raw, there's so many talents fighting for exposure that it's very difficult for certain acts that that don't have the creative attention given to them because there's just so many people to book. That they just kind of flounder and they're in the same segments on repeat pretty much every week. And if you're not somebody that Vince allows to go into business for themselves, like the New Day or something, you know, it's difficult for those kinds of acts to get over on Raw. Whereas SmackDown, because of, you know, limited roster spots, on purpose, you know, those guys can gain value in a hurry because they're needed to be a part of the show, you know, and they're needed to deliver something meaningful every week. And you're right. I mean, thus far, SmackDown has been very lucky when it comes to the injury bug, and Raw has not. And so, you know, that part of it is crucial. You know, if SmackDown doesn't stay healthy and they have one or two major injuries that sideline important people, it's going to feel like a ghost town on that show.
Raw, however, could use that skill that SmackDown has in embracing and enhancing its talent when it's there, because that's something that is really drastically missing from that SmackDown roster. That is one of those major giant, or from the Raw roster, is when guys go down, it's just, there's a big hole at the top. There's nothing really to fill it, where SmackDown does a really nice job of moving Jinder Mahal is the hot topic this week, but moving a Jinder Mahal or someone into that slot. But hopefully that's not what we have happen. Hopefully none of that is needed. Things like injuries really suck as wrestling fans and as people who enjoy watching the shows. What do you think? So I kind of got the idea to ask you when we talked about this topic. Let's look almost a year out. Let's look out at WrestleMania 34, New Orleans. What do you think the main events are for each brand? So part-timers are in play. All of those people are in play. What do you think the main event matches are for Raw and SmackDown? Say they're for championships even. Hey, maybe a championship match will even close the show, which would be kind of strange.
Honestly, I think you're looking at, from Raw, Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar. And on SmackDown, most likely AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm on that exact same wavelength with you.
Yeah, I guess on the SmackDown side, I don't know what John Cena is going to be doing come WrestleMania. So it's hard for me to...
Another mixed tag?
No.
Getting married to Nikki Bella.
No, that may happen at SummerSlam or something, certainly.
People have no idea how much I want that.
But I honestly don't know where he fits. You know, I guess I'm waiting for somebody to emerge on that show that feels like a John Cena WrestleMania opponent. I certainly don't want it to be Randy Orton again. And AJ Styles feels like it's already been done to a degree. Not that I'd turn down another John Cena and AJ Styles match, because I think they have wonderful chemistry together. But I'd like to see Nakamura and Cena at some point too, you know, so that match is on the table as well. But I think the biggest match and the best match that we could get out of SmackDown would be AJ and Nakamura.
And I do think that's where they're going to go for WrestleMania. I think they are going to go a slower route in building Nakamura than a lot of people want. I mean, I don't think he's going to do anything bad, but I don't know if we're going to get his first match before Backlash. Like, I think Nakamura and Dolph Ziggler is going to be a Backlash match, and it's going to be Order the Network to see Shinsuke's first match on the SmackDown roster. I don't think he does a whole lot. I mean, he does a lot. He's going to be in good feuds and all of that, and he's going to have good matches. I think Nakamura versus Cena could be a SummerSlam match if Cena's coming back for it. I could absolutely see that being a great match in Brooklyn. You can bill it as a dream match, and it doesn't need a championship involved. And I think those are things you want, given that AJ, I kind of see AJ going for the title at that point, and then getting to Nakamura and Styles via a Rumble win is kind of, at least in my head, what I see happening. But we'll see. Obviously, there are many, many months and a crazy old man in charge. But and on the Lesnar Reigns side, I just think it's basically written in stone unless they decide to go to it at SummerSlam. I think it's going to be Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, and I think it's going to be a really interesting match to see how it plays out, especially as we near the end of Brock Lesnar's contract, like the last time he faced Roman Reigns. And as we kind of get more of the, you know, unstoppable, unbreakable Roman Reigns, and as people get more and more tired of that act.
Yeah, I mean, we just saw the guy get thrown off of a loading dock by Braun Strowman, and people were just extremely happy about that. Like,
I've fallen off of a loading dock before. It is painful. I feel bad.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know what WWE has to do short of putting him back in the Shield and trying to sort of rehabilitate him that way, you know, to get him to where he needs to be a huge baby face against Lesnar. You know, I think you want crowds to really want to see him win at WrestleMania and have it be a big moment for him, because I don't know how many opportunities he's going to get, you know, against an opponent like Lesnar and in a spot like WrestleMania. You know, it's really difficult for me to think of, man, you know, is there a scenario that plays out where Roman Reigns is actually a huge babyface at WrestleMania? And I, you know, looking from now, I can't really see one. I hope they have a better plan than I'm, you know, thinking of in my head. But all I can really see is you have all the Shield members, you know, find a heel faction to put together and give them a reason to exist again.
If only Jinder Mahal and the Bollywood Boys were on Raw.
Oh, finally. Yeah. A heel faction worthy of the Shield reuniting.
Oh, man. I should ask you, as we close this week's show, what are you enjoying in wrestling this week? What I guess, has your favorite thing been, or kind of what's making you happy in wrestling this week?
I think we already talked about it. I can't believe how much I'm liking what Braun Strowman is doing. Like, it's sort of blowing my mind. Just to watch him sort of grow and to see him put on another very good match with the Big Show, who just has not had more than a handful of good performances in the last couple of years.
I think Braun Strowman is in my top five Big Show opponents ever.
Yeah, that may be true. You know, I'm trying to think who's had great matches with Big Show over the years. And I mean, Lesnar comes to mind, but I'm trying to think of other wrestlers who have really, you know, put on fantastic performances with Big Show. I think Eddie Guerrero had some, but, you know, it's just not a huge list. And so, yeah, you know, it's amazing to see a guy, you know, just surprise you week after week. And so that's what I've enjoyed mostly. And it's always a exciting and fun to watch what AJ Styles does on Tuesday nights. He's sort of the guy I look forward to watching the most in WWE. And hopefully, you know, we'll add Shinsuke to that list once he gets more active. But it's been just a ton of fun covering him for the last year.
For me, what's making me happy is actually that Shinsuke Nakamura and Ty Dillinger weren't on SmackDown. I advocate a lot for video packages, even for established talent. I think they do a lot of heavy lifting that repetitive promos don't do as well. And I think when you look at wrestlers like Ty Dillinger and especially Shinsuke Nakamura, who is limited a little bit promo-wise, like Shinsuke can speak English, but I get WWE trying to use it to maximum effect. I look at those wrestlers and say, oh, these are naturals for video packages. It's and on their third week on the show, WWE is giving them a character spot. They're kind of, because they came in all at once, they're kind of explaining to you who these people are, to varied success, especially in these two cases. But I will say, I'm really happy that they went that route. As a bonus making me happy, I will say the performances of Alicia Fox on 205 Live the last couple weeks have been really, really funny. She 205 Live is a weird, weird show, but Alicia Fox has been the standout performer of it.
That's funny. I guess I'll have to go back and pay more attention to her segments. But I know her crazy character, it works at times, and then at others it's just kind of like, okay, you know, turn the TV, turn the channel. But when it works pretty well.
Yeah, it absolutely does. That's going to wrap it up for us, everybody. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!